Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
I'm Laura.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Coda.
I'm Laura.
And we are the Triad Moms on the Mic.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Triad Moms on the Mic, the official podcast of Triad Moms on Maine. For more information about the show and all things parenting, make sure to check out the Triad Moms on Maine website at www.triadmomsonmaine.com. Triad Moms on Maine has daily blogs and a directory for practically everything. Be sure to subscribe to the newsletter and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a thing. Hi, everybody.
It's a beautiful day.
This is Kelly, and I'm here with Laura and Coda, and we are at Moji Coffee and More in downtown Winston-Salem. What an awesome place. I have never been here, you guys.
I haven't either, and I've heard great things, and it is really good.
It's so fun, and the coffee is delicious.
Yes.
And I'm enjoying a sunshine because the sun is shining. It's gorgeous outside.
It is.
Finally spring. Finally spring. So we're here kind of early in the morning because we wanted to accommodate Laura's schedule because she had swim team practice this morning for one of her children. So we thought this would be a great opportunity to talk about living vicariously through our children in sports. not really. Well, kind of. A little bit. But mostly to talk about children's activities and how much time and effort and money we spend on those things and why the hell are we doing this a little bit. So just a point of reference, when I had kids, everybody does this, right? Everybody puts their kids in activities and sports. When I was a kid in the 70s and the 80s, I don't know anybody that did this. Like if you played sports, you played in high school, maybe you played optimist soccer, maybe you did Pop Warner football, but you never tried out for anything. You just wrote a check and you did it. and then in high school, if you were a really good athlete, you might play in college. And then, you know, everybody knows that one guy that went on to play pro. But yeah. There wasn't all this travel and club and, 6:30 a.m. practices for anything ever. I don't think so anyway.
Swimming has always been that way.
Okay.
Because I, through most of high school, got up at 4:30 in the morning to go practice before school.
But did you do that through your school or did you do that like on a...
That was a club team.
Okay.
So, and I think some sports, like I had friends who were gymnasts who also were practicing that way. I mean, I was like 5 hours a day in middle school and high school, 7 days a week. But I don't necessarily think that was normal. I sort of fell into swimming as a 10-year-old because I don't like to sweat, and it's a good exercise. You can't feel yourself sweating.
That's perfect. I'll fix it.
And honestly did not intend to have my kids do it, and then that's the best way for them to learn how to swim is to put them on a swim team.
Right.
And then the bug caught, and now... Mm-hmm. I drive from Clemens to Fulton to Clemens to Fulton back to Clemens, like on the daily, because all three kids are at different sites.
Wow.
So,
oh my goodness.
But now they love it. And it's one of the, it's their only sport. They're healthy. There are some, I ask myself why all the time, just like, I mean, you mentioned. But I look at the benefits in terms of their physical health, In terms of their ability to focus, especially my middle boy when everything shut down for 2 months and he wasn't in the pool and like, oh my gosh. And even like the friendships and what they're learning about hard work and setting goals and like things that I think I took away from sports as well. And so that's what I keep telling myself. We're not doing this so they'll be in the Olympics. We're doing this because of those other really important mental and physical health pieces.
Right.
I think.
Right.
I still
but
feel
not
crazy.
Everybody is like that. I mean, not everybody thinks. I mean, there are, I know them. There are plenty of people who are spending money on private lessons and traveling all over the place. And you know, if you, this is Kelly's personal take, if your child is in sports because they love it and because it's good for their health and they're building friendships and I say sports, but it could be any activity. That is wonderful. If you are spending thousands of dollars and traveling all over the place in the hopes that your child is going to get a scholarship to go to college, you are a fool.
Right.
You're kidding yourself.
Take all the money you're spending and put it toward their college.
Yeah. No, we do it for fun and for benefit, but there are definitely those parents, and I'm really competitive. That's the other thing. Like, you find out, I don't know, I didn't think I'd be competitive about my own kids. Like, I mean, I knew I was personally. And there was a moment, this is terrible, I'm going to admit this. When my boys started swimming and the little boy across the street and they're good friends of ours just had like insane athletic ability. And he was really Caleb's only competition in summer league. And I knew there was a good chance in finals that like this other boy was going to win. And don't you know, he fell and got a concussion 2 days before the meet. And my first thought, was, well, Caleb will win now. And the second thought was, you're going to hell. And I did not say that out loud. But, man, you find out how much you really do actually care about your kid winning. Right.
Do you think that you push them even harder because of that? Or do you think that their motivation is a little more intrinsic because they like it so much?
I try to default that back to the coach as much as possible. Now, I did. My oldest boy expressed a desire to be doing, like, a little more, to have a little more time in the water or, like, in dry land. And I told him he could work out with me if he wanted to. But in general, I'm really trying to push that on the coach because I want somebody other than me. That's the other benefit. If mom is just riding your case, then you hate mom. But if your coach is riding your case, then you learn you can work a lot harder. So, yeah, I try to push it back on them.
Laura D., did you play sports?
I did, yeah.
What did you play?
I played volleyball mostly, but I played basketball and soccer growing up. And then committed to volleyball in high school, so, and then in college a little bit.
So you played in college, so.
just like a club team. It wasn't,
but still, like, I mean, that's a commitment. Being a student athlete is like a special thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I have friends who played, you know, on the school's team, and I don't know how they could do that. At other schools, my college didn't have a volleyball team, but all my friends were swimmers, and like you were saying, hours before they go to class, hours after they go to class. I don't know. Looking back, my goal was to play on my university's team wherever I ended up going. Bloomsburg didn't have that team, but now I'm kind of glad I didn't. I had such a different college experience, and like you were saying, if you're prepping your kids to commit themselves to this sport in college, that's going to be their college experience, you know?
It's a lot of
that
pressure.
That sport, the kids they play with, they play the sport with, those are going to be their friends. The kids they play the sport with, that's who they're going to study with. That's where they're going to be on the weekends. That's fine for some people. That's totally fine. That's great.
It's a great experience for some.
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
But there's other parts to college that you'll miss out on. So that's something I think I didn't think about as a high school student, how much of my time would really be in that sport.
So are you glad that you first of all, did your parents push you, I guess, or did they support you? Because there's a real difference in that.
Your parents... Oh, Stephanie might listen to this. She
no. But. No. I didn't know Stephanie at that time.
Okay, all right. She's not going to call your folks. And
she
call
might. Okay. She might tattletale.
Stephanie, please don't call Laura.
Don't do it, Stephanie.
No, they were great. They really supported me. And, like, they put me on the club teams, and we were traveling all over, going to places. So we did a lot to try and have me play in college, and then ultimately I decided that I didn't want to do that, and they did support that, which was nice.
That's good.
That's
hard, I think, for a lot of parents when, you know, two of my three kids play sports, and my third is the theater kid, which they're crazy people.
That's a whole
they're other, crazy people.
That's, yeah, hours
that's
and hours.
A whole other episode.
But yeah. I mean, I hate to admit that I always say to them, if you want to stop doing this, just stop doing it. It's not a big deal, but it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be really disappointed because I really enjoy watching them.
But not disappointed in them.
Oh, God,
just
no.
Disappointed that you wouldn't have that to watch.
But I also don't want them to do something that they're not enjoying anymore. And I've had this conversation specifically with my middle child who plays soccer. She's 14. And she's a good player. She's a good utility player, and she'll probably play through high school. But she doesn't have any, you know, designs
of college.
No. And she's not going to listen to this, so she won't know I say this. But she's not good enough for that. And she knows that. And that's okay. She does it because she enjoys it. She likes hanging out with the team. It's fun. We get to stay in a hotel every now and again. So that's, you know, a fun thing.
A lot of people aren't good enough. I mean, it's
most
an elite.
People aren't
yeah,
good enough.
It's an elite ability to be able to play in college and actually play and get paid to play. I mean, to earn a scholarship, you have to be really good at what you do.
Right.
So it's not. I think that's something that I want to instill in George. You know, like you were saying, you're not going to do this for. You're not going to play in the NFL. Like, I'm sorry, but
can
we talk about though, like my boys and their little group of swimmer friends, all of whom are, I think, below the 50th percentile for weight and height, right? Every single one of them, my children included, has plans to be a professional football player in the NFL.
And they will
God
do it.
Them.
None
they
of
will.
Them play football.
Bless them.
And like, I walk this line of like, do I break their hearts now?
Yeah.
Or do, I mean, I definitely had kids in conferences when I taught as juniors, and we'd be like, well, what are you planning to do with your life? I'm going to play professional football. And
okay.
I would be like, I didn't know you were on the team. Oh, I'm not. So there has to be a point where we talk what's real.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that is.
So my Henry plays lacrosse, and he is very good. He's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And but he has a natural athletic ability. He's just one of those kids. But he's really taken to that sport. But he came in the kitchen the other day, and he said, you know, I think I might want to try baseball. And I was like, oh, no, those people are crazy. They're
those
the field
are worse than swim
all
meets.
The time. So, no, I don't think so, buddy. He said, yeah, I think it might be fun. He said, you know what position I want to play? I was like, what? He said, who's that guy? Wait, what does a catcher do? And I was like, oh, Henry, you are not playing baseball. You don't even know what a catcher does. No, we're not playing baseball. So, big dreams, but you do have to, like, introduce them to reality occasionally.
At some point.
All right, if you're enjoying this podcast, then I hope you'll take just a quick second to hear about the folks that make it all possible. And that's the Ginther Group, a Triad real estate team with a vast local knowledge. Don't believe me? Hear it for yourself by listening to their real estate show right here on the Triad Podcast Network. I'm not even in the market, and I don't know what I'd do without an ally like Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group. They've helped me find a plumber, a roofer, and even helped my family save hundreds each month when we refinanced our home. Now imagine how they can help if you are in the market. They can help you get started with an evaluation to list and market your home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling in the Triad, call the Ginther Group at 336-283-8689 or find them online at theginthergroup.com. Now back to the show.
All right, yep. Carter, what about you? Did you play sports?
I was not an athlete, but I was very active in my dance studio. So I was okay. there from after school every day until 9 or 10 o'clock at night, either teaching or dancing, and then competitions on the weekends.
All right, so dance people
that qualifies as sport. Yeah. I mean, honestly, sure. that's athletic. Oh, yeah. I couldn't do it.
So. For sure. And then did you do that like all through? You said you taught. So
yeah, so I started when I was May's age, so 2 or 3 years old, and went all through high school. And then in college, I was so burnt out by college just because it was every single day. Usually 6 days a week. So it was just a lot. It was a little time consuming, and I was so burnt out that the first year of college, I was like, I'm not doing anything. But then I picked up some dance classes for PE and stuff like that and really enjoyed that. But no, I didn't
so
do anything.
So are you going to be a dance mom then with your girl?
I don't know. She, you know, she's interested in like gymnastics kind of things, mm-hmm. and she's interested in wanting to go to ballet. We just haven't quite decided. And in our house growing up, we had a rule that we could choose 2 activities, and that was it, because it's expensive mm-hmm. and it's time consuming. Mm-hmm. And my parents had really demanding jobs, and they just didn't, you know, they kind of had to put some boundaries on it. And so I don't know. We'll have to see what comes of it with my girls, just because they're very different already. So it may be one mm-hmm. plays volleyball and one's a dancer. Who knows?
And that's something else. That brings up an interesting point. When you have one child that's like very into something and you have other children, do you sacrifice those other children?
What do you do?
Right? What do you do?
I keep running into this, even to some degree with swimming, because with the COVID protocols and the reduced capacity, that's why I'm driving all over the city. Mm-hmm. And it's like, either somebody has to get out early, or like, I pull Violet out. Well, that's not fair. That's Violet's right. only physical activity, because her dance studio is not open. And that is a constant pull and battle, too. Like, do you hold someone else back? I don't know. And even, like, my younger boy right now is better than my older one. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's probably tough.
And he's just grown faster and younger, and that's even a challenge. Yeah.
Do they recognize that? Is there jealousy or competition within?
So my older son is still faster, just a little bit. They're only 20 months apart. And they started swimming at the same time. And so what we're seeing is that the one still has, he's younger and he's at the same level as the older one. I've chosen to take, so what happened is Eli, basically he aged up into 11, 12s at a really bad time, and then had, because right before championships, mm-hmm. And then had to move down a level. And I'm not entirely even in agreement with the system being set up that way, but it's an opportunity to teach my oldest son that we do our best within systems that don't feel right and don't feel fair. And that's kind of where I've landed. I still don't entirely like that happened. But at the same time, it's not fair because Caleb then moved up into that level, and it's not fair to hold him back. We did it for you. We're going to do it for him too. But it's all hard. Yeah. And especially now, I don't know, we finally have carpools going again. It just feels like so many plates spinning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think back to all the time when I think about putting George in sports and multiple kids and everything. You wrote a blog for Triad Moms about peeing in the back of the van.
Peeing my pants in the back of my van, and yes. It was that.
Weren't you running around for
Fulton? Yeah, I was going
for
back
sports
and
stuff.
Yeah, I had 2 at Fulton, but an hour apart. And then 1 at Yadkinville, because that's convenient at that point.
And I remember reading that and just laughing, but also thinking, like, this is so relatable. Like, I'm sure so many oh my gosh.
I mean, I just started working full time again.
Yeah.
And I've had probably 6 meetings in my minivan, and they're Google Meet, like, video meetings. And I mean, my minivan is atrocious. I can't, like, I need to have it detailed before I drive carpool kids.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's so funny because my car is disgusting too. There are turf balls and grass all over it. And, like, why? Why even clean
why
it up?
Bother?
Because it's just going to get gross. And I said, like, Henry got in the car and said, God, this car is a mess. Mommy, get this cleaned up. And I was like, dude.
It's your fault.
I will do it when the season ends. And then I came to the realization that the season never ends.
It goes on and on.
And the stink of a swim bag that has been left in the car overnight.
I will put up a pair of lacrosse gloves.
True.
To any swim bag because
and the shoes.
Oh, the cleats are
bad. Can we talk about what the shoes on an elementary school boy?
It's nasty. All cleats stay outside at our house.
I started buying things like charcoal things to put in them in hopes that it will help. Like they are forbidden to take their shoes off in the car while I'm driving. Because I don't have a good sense of smell.
So if it smells bad to you.
It's really bad.
Oh. So let's talk just for a moment about sports parents and what kind of sports parent we want to be and what kind of sports parent sometimes we are. Or maybe that we
I feel like I would like you to share first.
Yes. Well, I am... This is like kind of hard for me to admit, but you know, with Katie in theater, you can't sit in the audience and yell at your kid if they're not performing well, right? So that I think kind of taught me, but you can get in the car and berate them for forgetting the lines.
Right.
So not that I ever did that.
No, definitely not.
But it's almost like for the kids, our kids that play sports, my husband has taken the role of berater with one of them and I'm the supporter and then we flip-flop for the other ones and isn't that weird? That's terrible. But I also think it's because we like their sports better. You know what I mean? It's like I love soccer. I love watching it. I never play. Y'all, I can barely walk. I have zero athletic ability. So to watch my kids get out and do those things that I think are it's incredible to watch them when they play. And the older they get, the better they get. And it stops being this weird, funny little huddle of children running around.
Yeah.
And it starts becoming a game.
Intelligent. Kids. And yes.
Right. And it's really fun to watch. So I really love soccer, so I do tend to be the... I'm getting better, but the...
A little more competitive side.
Yeah, a little more competitive. And my husband likes lacrosse better, so he gets a little more into that.
Mm-hmm.
All that said, the club that we belong to, that both the kids belong to, have a philosophy on what kind of sports parent you're supposed to be. And we try very hard not to yell at the children and not to yell at the refs. Those poor refs.
Oh, man.
You could not pay me enough money to be a ref.
No.
I mean, I have seen, this is not a lie or an exaggeration. I have seen people get escorted off the field.
Jeez.
I saw one woman get arrested. Yes.
What age were the kids playing?
They were probably U12. It wasn't on our team. It was another team like on the field adjacent at a tournament. And she hit a referee. Yes. In a U12 soccer game. What?
Wow.
Yes.
They're kids. Okay. I get it. You want your kid to do well. You don't want your kid to embarrass themselves. You want them to, you know, be competitive in this and that. But they're kids.
Right. And no doubt mortified.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, they have to be so embarrassed.
I can't.
Oh, my gosh.
Forever that kid is the one whose mom got arrested at that one game.
Right.
Now, my kid has told me to shut up from the field. She has looked at me and said, shut up. And normally I would have jerked her up, but she had a point and I really need to shut up. So I did. And that is like shameful as a parent when you're embarrassing your child. You think for some reason you're helping, but
right.
You're not helping. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing the team and you're embarrassing your kid.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh.
So shut up.
But I actually have liked the COVID protocols that have kept us out of the swim meets.
Yeah.
Or if you're in, you have to be working. It's made me a lot less like stressed because I think I hide it pretty well how much I care, but I do care. Mm-hmm. I did have a coach one time comment, like, I was a breaststroker and my kid was swimming breaststroke and I was literally doing movement, like the back and forth.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and it was it Allie Raisman, the gymnast? Remember when they filmed her parents watching her at the Olympics and they're like violently leaning like side to side? And I mean, they look like they're on a roller coaster. And it's hilarious. And also, like, I'm like, that's me.
Yeah.
But that's totally so me. Funny that you say that too, because as parents, you want to protect your kids. You don't want them to be embarrassed. But at the same time, you don't have control over them.
No,
they're their own people. And when they're playing their sport, they're doing their thing. And so it's just kind of this cycle of you, I don't know, just like you said, your daughter told her to shut up. Like, stop, Mom. Mm-hmm. I'm doing what I'm doing here, you know? So,
well, and when we're sitting there on the sideline going, run!
Like, I'm doing the best I can.
I could not get my fat ass up and run down that field. You know, I'm sitting in my chair, and I got one of those chairs that rocks, you know? So I'm sitting over there in my little rocking chair with my, you know, sweet tea or whatever, yelling at my kids to run. Shut up.
I do think it's really helpful if you can get your kids on a team with, like-minded parents.
Yes.
And I will say that we've landed on a swim team where there are a few, like, who are kind of standoffish, but for the most part, they bring tents, they bring chairs, they bring snacks. Everybody hangs out together. Yeah. Like, right now, we watch the live stream together. They cheer for each other's kids. Yeah.
That's how it should be.
There might be some drinking together. if you're driving to that many practices, you ought to. So,
right.
That is a magical spot to land. Like, that's when sports is amazing, because you have community and you get to go to meets together and everybody stays in the same hotel. And my kids were calling their friends on the old fashioned phone, as they called it, which they had apparently never used. Like, that sort of thing is just amazing. And that to me is a big part of doing sports.
Yeah.
So
that's worth it.
That's worth it.
Yeah.
It is. So
that's what I remember from sports, like from my volleyball club team. Like, I remember the times in the hotels where all the parents were out in the hallway drinking and all the kids got to hang out in one room. And when we went out to that one dinner, you know, like, sure, I remember that we were there for a volleyball tournament, but, like,
you don't remember the
sport.
You don't remember who won. Right.
Yeah. So I think that's a huge, huge part of it for the parents and for the kids, for everyone.
So for those two of you who have younger kiddos, like, do you have designs on George? George is he's a pretty, you know, solid little guy. Is he going to play football? What are you going to put him in? What's George's
father
playing?
Football? Huh? Did your husband play football? That's what I thought. Uh-huh.
Joe would be ecstatic if George wants to play football, but we're trying to be camp, you know, whatever you want to do is fine. I would love if he wanted to play volleyball, you know, that kind of thing. But when you mentioned gymnastics, I think that's probably going to be one of the first things he does. This kid, I mean, he's, I guess, a typical toddler, but he loves to jump and roll, and he's all over the place. I think one of the first things we want to try with him is gymnastics.
For sure.
I think that'd be fun. But, yeah, I don't know. Whatever
he wants to do.
Hopefully.
And you know, I like that you use the word try, too, because I think there is such a push right now to specialize in sports so young.
Yeah.
Although every person, every coach says the multi-sport athlete, you know, they want a multi-sport athlete. And yet,
you can't do any other sports except for this
one. You can't do any other sports.
Okay, I have a question. Because another rule at our house was you pick your two activities, but whatever activities you chose, you had to stick with the entire year.
Like the season.
Or the season, okay. Yes. All right. So with dance, you know, it was a year. You got summers off sometimes. Well, what do you do if your child just absolutely hates it? Do you let them quit?
I mean,
or do you make them stick it out? We had to stick it out.
If it's a five-year-old, you know, who is trying dance, I mean, like, my middle child tried dance, and she didn't make it 2 months. She was like,
wasn't her thing.
Four, maybe. Of course. Why be miserable going to something? And if the reason for wanting to quit is because you hate it, then quit. If the reason for wanting to quit is because, you know, you feel like you're not if there's a conflict with another player mm-hmm. or a coach or something, then I think you should work through that conflict. But if they hate it, I don't think kids should be miserable doing something, because that makes them hate it, right? And then they never want to try it again.
So I will say that Violet cried for 2 months of swimming this fall. She would start the boohooing like in advance on Monday and Wednesday. First of all, she loves the water. We'll do anything to get in the water. She likes to swim. It was more, what I eventually figured out was that she was the littlest kid there and she was not winning.
Oh, okay.
And so we did not quit because I'm like, I know you like this. And yeah. That's where I think you have to like kind of figure out what, is this
where
really
it's coming
something
from?
Your kid likes and where is it coming from?
Yeah.
And don't you know, like about 2 months in, she finally got a spot on the wall and she was the best kid in her lane and now she likes it. And I'm like, aren't you glad we stuck with this? And
so she just doesn't like losing.
I think so.
I feel that, Violet.
I do feel that.
So, yeah, you have to figure out what it is. Like some kids, Violet's this way, will resist anything new. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit scary and I don't want to do it. And we're not going to quit because of that.
Right.
We haven't found anything yet that anybody just, other than school, really just hated.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's a call you make as their mom. Like you said that they just hated dance.
Yeah.
Just hate it. And you knew that they actually hated it. You know what
right.
I mean? And it wasn't that they weren't winning or, you know, so
yeah.
I think hopefully I'll be able to tell, okay, George wants to quit gymnastics. Is it because he truly hates it or is it because he's not the best? And
right.
I don't know. Hopefully I'll be able to make that call.
Did any of you read the Tiger Mother book? It's been some years since this came out.
I remember that.
They were Chinese. Yeah. Were they immigrants from China, I believe? She might have been a first-generation immigrant. And she was parenting her children the way that you parent in China.
Mm-hmm.
And the first daughter was very compliant, did the piano lessons from age, or violin or whatever it was, from age 4 on. The second daughter grew, you know, having grown up in America, threw her for a total loop, and she was this accomplished musician, and she quit in, like, her freshman year of high school to play tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And she stunk at tennis.
Oh,
and
no.
She knew it, and she didn't care.
Oh,
yeah.
And, like, this mom having to, like, wrap her mind around, like, she is her own autonomous person.
Mm-hmm.
We can give them a foundation, but, like, they have to have some choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So, and that's a hard line between, like, are you just kind of lazy and the first part is hard? Or, like, do you really deeply want to pursue something else?
Mm-hmm.
So.
A lot to think about.
It's a lot
that's
to talk.
A lot to think about.
I feel like if we could black and white answer that question, we'd be millionaires. Because
we would.
I have a feeling everyone just hopes that they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Well, we have 2 soccer games and 2 lacrosse games this weekend, so I am very much looking forward to that.
May the weather be in your favor.
You know,
it looks good so far.
It looks like it might storm. So, but we're at the point now where they don't call games or practices because of rain. I mean, if it thunders and lightnings, they'll call it.
Right.
But, you know, they'll play in the snow. Delightful.
I'm sure.
It's wonderful. It's the best.
But you love your children.
I love it. I'll sit out there in my little rocker.
Have you gotten one of the pods? Because if
there
I
is somebody
be
on the team,
yeah, you know
there is
about.
Someone on the team with the pod, and I am looking seriously at it. I did get the heated blanket that plugs into the car because when I'm sitting at, we can't watch practice. We're not supposed to be on the field or anything. But if you're sitting for an hour in your car waiting, or however long, it's cold in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So I have my blanket.
I that's the part about this I dread. Like, I'm excited about watching the games or the dance recitals or whatever. But the practice and the waiting.
Yes. Lots of driving. Lots
the
of
the driving around. Like, I dread that a little bit.
I've started running and walking with other moms. Like, we just kind of, to try to, you know, if we're going to be here, we're going to get some exercise, too. Sometimes I work in the car. I mean, it's not been as terrible, I guess, as I thought.
find creative ways to make it useful.
Yeah, we just kind of make it work. Although I will say that you want to be in a lab.
Right. Once my oldest started driving and could drive herself to rehearsal and home, that was life-changing.
I remember when my brother got his license and it was his job to tote me around, and my mom was like, freedom!
Right?
I remember my parents being real excited about not having to take me to that early morning practice anymore. So,
well, that I'm so glad that you mentioned that early morning practice, because that reminds me to never have my children swim.
Until they can drive it.
Until they can
do anything you want except swim.
Except swim or play baseball or dance or anything that takes up a bunch of time. All right, that's all for today. If you have a show idea or just want to chat with us or tell us about your own sports experience, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at triadmomsonthemic@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out the Triad Moms on Main website at www.triadmomsonmain.com, and make sure to subscribe to this podcast. Stay well, everyone.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.